Hello and welcome to Healthy Mind, Healthy Life with your host Avik. This podcast is all about exploring the latest research, sharing personal stories and providing personal tips for improving our mental health and well-being. Each episode will be joined by experts in the field of mental health as well as individuals who have experienced the transformative power of a healthy mind firsthand. Together, we will dive into a range of topics from managing stress and anxiety to building resilience and cultivating happiness. So, join us on this journey to discover new ways to take care of our minds, bodies, and souls. And let's work together to create a healthier, happier world one episode at a time. So, let's get started. Hello and welcome to Healthy Mind, Healthy Life. Today, we are joined by Julie Rose. Welcome to the show, Julie.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Lovely. So, Julie, before we start our conversation today, because today we'll be talking about mindful news, where we'll be navigating the current events without the anxiety. But before we do that, before we delve into this topic, I'd love to mention this to all of our listeners that Julie is a seasoned radio journalist with over two decades of experience, including hosting the nationally syndicated show Top of Mind. So, despite her deep involvement in the news, Julie faced anxiety and frustration, which leading to her to the transform Top of Mind into a weekly podcast in 2022. So with a focus of tackling tough topics in an empathetic and empowering way, she advocates for bridging the divides in public discourse and also emphasizes the importance of staying informed in today's media landscape. So why to wait for? Join us as we explore Julie's journey and her insights on navigating the news without succumbing to the anxiety. So welcome to the show again, Julie.
Oh, thank you. That is a great invitation. I'm so happy to be here. I love talking about this.
Lovely, lovely. Great. So Julie, to start with, if you can share more about your personal journey and how it led to the transformation of Top of Mind into a weekly podcast, which focuses on tackling tough topics into a more empathetic and empowering manner, like I said. Yeah.
Well, this is really a situation. Not many people get this opportunity to have both their professional life and their sort of personal life and needs really come together in a perfect marriage. And this is something that's happened to me in the last couple of years. So I'm really grateful for it. As you mentioned, I have been a radio journalist for 20 years, and I started off in public radio reporting, reporting for, in the States, national public radio. So journalistic news feature stories about all the things that are going on in the world politics and business and social issues, and really loved that job. And after about 10 years, I needed to move back to my hometown to help my parents who were aging. And it wasn't a good career move. It was not one of those things where, in fact, I had no idea what that was going to mean for my career, but I needed to do it. I had always wanted to be the person. I had always thought, you know, when my parents need help, I'm going to do that for them. It came sooner than I expected, but I wasn't ready. And I was actually really sad about leaving my dream job in the public radio world where I was living. But I moved across the country from North Carolina back to Utah, where my parents were still living, where I grew up. And I'm so glad I did, because I had the opportunity to be with them at the end of their life and, you know, be able to really have those beautiful caregiving years with them, and be back in the heart of my family with a couple of other siblings here. At the same time, though, I didn't really know what that was going to mean for my career, but I ended up making a connection with BYU Radio, which is at the local university, Brigham Young University in my hometown. They had just started up this radio station on satellite radio, Sirius XM satellite radio. And they were trying to fill 24 hours of daily news with original content. And they needed content. And so I started working with the BYU Radio, started hosting a daily live interview show. So for 7 years, we did this show called Top of Mind that was heard on satellite radio. And it was also carried by a number of different radio stations around the United States. Public radio stations picked it up as well. It was in-depth interviews, 2 hours every single day, typically six interviews every show. And it was about everything under the sun, current events, new research, science, education, social issues, culture, all of it, right? It was, I did probably, well, I calculated it once, I did over 10,000 interviews in the course of those 7 years. And it was a great show. Towards the end of that time, I started to really not want to be involved in the news. I had a bit of a crisis, personal journalistic crisis, as well as just a news consumer. I used to be one of these people who would wake up in the morning and I would turn the radio on immediately. I didn't have music that would wake me up. It was the news that would wake me up. That was my alarm clock on my old clock radio. And then I would turn it on and then I would have it blasting as I would get in the shower. And so I could hear, I didn't want to miss a thing. And then it would be on in my car. And then afterwards, you know, all day long at work, I'd be following the news. And then all weekend, I was just constantly listening to the news and I loved it. And I was so engaged with what was going on in the world. And here I reached this point after, you know, 5 or 6 years of live radio talking about the news all the time. I just didn't want to do it anymore. I couldn't bring myself to listen to the news. I was actively avoiding the news as much as possible. And I was really embarrassed about this. I was pretty ashamed, actually, because I'm a journalist. Like, I'm not supposed to have that kind of news avoidance. What am I going to have to do? Change my job? In 2022, right around the time that my boss said, hey, you know what? I think we should maybe switch to a weekly podcast. Podcasting is the wave of the future. Daily live radio is, you know, something else. And let's try podcasting. So as we were mulling, what should we do with this podcast if we're going to change Top of Mind to be a weekly podcast? I was carrying the secret with me that I was like really done with the news. It was depressing. I didn't like how it made me feel. Crucially, it was making my anxiety much worse. It was fueling my anxious tendencies. I have always been anxious. I've been on medication for anxiety since I was in my early 20s. So it's been decades now. And really have never had very good coping strategies for my anxiety other than to just sort of like knuckle down and ignore it and keep forging ahead. Well, news was just not, you know, consuming the news, things were getting more and more. This was a time in the United States where the political news was becoming more and more angry and divided, and you're either the good guys or you're the bad guys. It felt very polarized and emotionally draining to me, and the world just seemed like it was terrible. Nothing good is happening out there. I wanted to just bury my head in the sand, but I also didn't feel good about that. And I discovered right around that time a study that found that actually 36% of people globally, close to 40% in the United States, actively avoid the news. I don't know if that's ever happened to you. Are you one of these people who consumes the news like crazy? Or do you tend to kind of pick and choose or just sort of listen to music all the time or your favorite podcasts?
So yeah, definitely for my favorite podcasts and also the music, news. Yes, very picky. Which is important and like this. But yes, music and podcast, I really love this.
Yeah. So I mean, that's where I had sort of shifted my day job. I was like, all right, I'll focus on the news as much as I have to for work. But I really like, and it just felt like something I was going to have to suffer through. And when I realized that, you know, more than a third of people worldwide and 40% in the United States were in the same boat, they were actively avoiding the news, either entirely, just like these people, you know, there are a lot of people, and I would go through phases like this too, where I just, you know, I'd go on a news diet over the weekend. I'm like, I don't want to know what's happening in the world. I'm only going to listen to my music and watch my TV shows. And then other people were just not ignoring, but avoiding specific kinds of topics, right? Like, I'm really interested in this topic, but I'm going to ignore all these other topics. You know, that's also very common. People were selectively avoiding the news. Okay. Well, for me, that was a light bulb moment because I realized, okay, I'm not the only one here. Something is going on here. And you could make the argument that it's the news is the problem, that journalists are doing their job wrong. I do think there is a certain, that there are things that the media world can do better. We focus so exclusively on conflict. We're not often looking to tell you the good news stories. We could certainly do more of that. We could certainly focus more on solutions when there are real solutions. We could certainly look to help people feel empowered that there is some place that they can go to do more, right? Rather than just always tell people, here's all the terrible things. And I think the media could do a lot less of this polarizing, telling stories where there's a clear good guy and a clear bad guy. There's a clear party that's bad and there's a political party that's good. There's a political leader who's bad and there's somebody who is on the right side. There's an awful lot of this simplification of these really nuanced issues in the world. So yes, the media could certainly be doing things differently. That might help us want to engage. My question was, how could I create a podcast? Could I create a podcast? Could we, my team, create a podcast that would help people engage in a way that felt productive? I can't change the whole media landscape, but could we take one topic each week, one topic that people might want to avoid because it feels divisive or depressing? Or they think they know what they need to know already. They already have a strong opinion. I'm not going to change my mind. Why should I listen to this? Could we take one of these topics each week and find a way to help people feel more empathy, to see the nuance in the issue and to come away feeling empathetic, but also empowered and even a little bit optimistic. Like, look, we're not actually taking a side on any issue. And I'm not going to like oversimplify it and be like, oh, we can solve this. It's not as big a deal as you think it is. The world is full of very complex challenges, but ignoring them doesn't make things better. And ignoring them certainly doesn't make me the kind of person that I want to be in my community, where I can engage and lean into making things better.
That's true.
What we can do instead is provide an opportunity for you to listen to perspectives in a calm and respectful way that doesn't oversimplify, that doesn't play into this like pro and con. It's nuance. We surface surprising perspectives. We talk to people with personal stake in the issue, people with personal experience. So it's not just pundits yelling at each other. It's people who've been personally affected by this issue, whether it's immigration or racism or organized labor or, you know, affirmative action or criminal justice or the prison system in the United States, you know, all kinds of things. I'm working on one right now about race. I'm working on one right now about public health issues, things that people feel strongly about, but that also they might think they haven't really thought that deeply about. So we find people who have personally been affected and we look for nuanced perspectives from experts who are not there to inflame us, but really to inform us. And at the end of the episode, I want for everyone who's listened to have heard something that they disagree with. I want you to feel a little bit challenged, because that's where we start to crack ourselves open to more clarity, to more understanding. And this is where the mindfulness piece comes in. So I mentioned that I've been an anxious person since the day I came out of my mother's womb. I could tell you stories about being a kid and just like driving my school teachers crazy with my anxiety and my like desire to get it right and to be perfect and to know the answer now and to not wait for the instruction. Like just sort of like always like, what if I don't do it right? What if I get it wrong? You know, it's that.
So I said very curious.
Yeah. Curious and perfectionist. And the anxiety spiraled into a place for me, you know, over my life where it has been all consuming and made it very difficult for me to sort of feel peace, to feel contentment, to enjoy things in the moment. You know, it's not like I'm unusual. A lot of people suffer this. The medication has helped. But I came to a point around the same period where I was struggling with news avoidance, where it was just kind of spiraling out of control. All of my avoidance techniques to kind of just like squash my anxiety or distract myself or sort of like knuckle down and wait for it to pass, like really weren't working very well. So I enrolled in a mindfulness course, and I learned for the very first time in my life that when you acknowledge and feel a negative emotion like anxiety or fear or anger, it doesn't have to take over your life. It doesn't have to take you over. I had spent my entire life in fear of the anxious feelings because I felt the minute I acknowledged them and just sort of like recognized what they felt like in my body, that I would fall deeper into the anxiety spiral. Any inch I gave anxiety, I was convinced it was going to suck me further down into that hole. And in this mindful course that I took, I was in my 40s at this point. I'm an adult, and I'm learning for the first time that I can acknowledge those feelings and through breathing and mindful meditation, and I can sort of like sit on the banks of a river, our instructor talked about it, and watch them sort of like flow past me, you know, and be like, oh, I'm feeling anxious. And this is what it feels like in my body. And there it is. And oh, look, and there it's going. That if I would just acknowledge it and feel it and stop fighting it, that it would actually pass faster for me. Which I had nobody taught me this before. I fought it so hard, and I was only making it worse by fighting it and, you know, bucking up against it and being afraid of it. So at the same time I'm learning this, I'm also thinking about how to engage with the news. We create a podcast that will help people engage with the news in a way that doesn't suck them into that spiral of anxiety or polarization or depression. Well, avoiding it is what I had been doing with my anxiety my whole life, which was like fight it and deny it and push it away. What would the mindful approach look like? For me, that started to, I thought, okay, well, I need to do it mindfully. Like I need to do it with intention.
Yeah.
And so at the same time that we were creating this podcast, I started to really change the way I was interacting with the news so that I wouldn't feel desperate to avoid it, because I had figured out a way to engage with it, in a healthy way. And I'm happy to talk about with some of those tips if you'd like.
That's really lovely, I would say. So thanks for sharing this. It's really, 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 really important also. And somewhere I believe people can also relate with your experiences. Mm. So, like, also one more thing, like, how do you address the common sentiment of the news avoidance, like as we're discussing, so among individuals who find themselves like overwhelmed by the negativity and divisiveness in current events?
Yeah. So I will acknowledge that our podcast is, we for the most part, we tackle topics from an American perspective. We're covering issues that are of most importance to the United States. I would love to see someone do a top of mind in every country in the world. One thing that I have found is that it's very useful to take a topic, and we're looking to go deep. We're looking for nuance. But the first thing we have to realize is that there's always more than two sides to an issue. So for me, the place where I start to feel less overwhelmed, and this is going to sound counterintuitive, I feel less overwhelmed when I start to see that an issue is not so intractable, that it's not completely black and white. It's either these guys or these guys. There's this way or there's this way, and I have to make a choice between these two. That's for me where things start to feel really scary, because I am a pretty complicated person. I'm sure you are too. Give me any issue out there, I'm not going to necessarily feel, and you know, in the United States, we know whether it's something like gun violence, gun control, or abortion, or well, gosh, just about anything, even politics, like sort of, we know that there's this huge sort of, the majority of Americans or the largest group of Americans sort of feels like they fit in between the two sides on any given issue, that our ideas are more nuanced, that I may not be in favor of completely locking all guns up, but I also think that we probably shouldn't just have them available at will to everyone at every time, right? Like there's definitely space in the middle where most people fall. And I think a lot of times for me, the anxiety and the overwhelm comes when I feel like I have to pick one of those and neither of those feels right to me. And I get frustrated. It makes me feel like there's no solution. So on top of mind, and what I look for when I consume the news is I look for the nuance. I look for surprising and complicated perspectives. you know, if we're doing an episode on guns, I want to find somebody who, you know, owns guns and is supportive of people having access to guns, but also who says it has also experienced the consequences of gun violence and says, you know, but there's also this we need to consider. There's, you know, we should consider restrictions like this, or here's what I think would be a more effective solution. So it's less black and white. It's more, I want to hear the nuance. I want to hear people grappling with the challenge of it. That helps me feel like I'm not the only one who's confused about sort of picking one side or the other. But it also challenges me to listen to stuff that I disagree with a little bit. This is where my mindfulness has to come in. So in the podcast, On Top of Mind, we work really hard through our storytelling and through careful narration. As the host, I sort of acknowledge that it's difficult to listen to challenging perspectives. I'm right there with you. We're just going to stay open and curious and kind of, and, you know, in that sort of mindful meditation state where we can hear these things without letting our threat response take over immediately, which is so often what happens with emotions. If we can acknowledge, oh, this is making me uncomfortable. Ugh, I really don't agree with this. But stay open. Stay uncomfortable for just a moment. We're so afraid to hear things we disagree with because they make us feel uncomfortable. And it's so easy to just turn off the podcast or change the channel or switch the page to a different website. And there's real learning and empowerment that can come when we sit in that discomfort just a little bit longer. Okay, I really disagree with you, but I'm going to listen. I'm going to, with open curiosity, to try to understand why you hold the perspective you hold. And what I have found and what we find, what we aim for with every episode we do, is that by presenting perspectives in a calm and respectful way, looking for the contradictions, looking for the areas where somebody surprises us with their perspective, I get to a place at the end, and I really hope our listeners do too, where I do feel more optimistic and I feel more empowered, because for one thing, I know I'm not alone in feeling confused about this issue. I see that I now am curious about, well, gosh, I never thought about the fact that there might be somebody who is really supportive of guns and has also experienced gun violence. Okay, that's interesting to me. Like, now I need to think about, well, how does that shape my view then? I want to go learn more. Who else? What other perspectives might be out there that are confusing to me or surprising? Where else can I go to get a sense for this, to feel curious about this issue? Because I now feel like it's not just about people yelling at me and telling me you have to pick a side, but there's all of this interesting, challenging nuance in the middle that really lights my curiosity up. And helps me feel empowered, because now I know at the very least, oh, there's some middle ground. I have some middle ground with this person. I never thought I'd have something in common with somebody who thinks that. But it turns out we also agree on this little piece. Well, that's interesting to me. Now I can't see those people as the enemy all the time. I think I've got some more work to do. I want to go talk about this issue with somebody and find out how someone in my life thinks about this, because now I realize it's more nuanced and I'm really curious. Gosh, my brother has guns. I want to go talk to him about. So, you know, what do you think about this aspect? What do you think about this aspect? You know, every single issue that we feel like is intractable or depressing or polarizing, there can be nuance and curiosity that can actually help you to feel empowered.
That's really true. That's really true, and it's awesome, I would say. So also, like, how do you navigate the responsibility of reporting on the challenging topics while also ensuring that your listeners feel supported and empowered rather than feeling hopeless?
Yeah. Well, it's a big challenge. And I fully acknowledge that Top of Mind listeners, when you come to our podcast, it's work. Like, you people who listen to Top of Mind, you can't listen to it just while it's in the background, while you have the TV on, or while you're also reading an article, or while you're also arguing with your roommate or your kids, right? Like, it's not the kind of thing that can be on in the background. Sure. Because we've packed that 53 minutes each week full of perspective perspectives, and we've chosen every word carefully. And I've conducted hours and hours of interviews with different guests to bring you these nuggets that are going to help you to see this issue in a new light and provide some moments of challenge. So some of the techniques we use, we lean into storytelling. So we're telling stories with interesting people who have experienced interesting things. And so we use storytelling. We use very careful narration, and we choose our guests very carefully. We're choosing people who can speak thoughtfully, who have interesting stories to tell. And so my hope is that all of those things combined keeps people with us long enough to resist, even for just a moment, that sense of like, oh, I disagree with that, I'm going to turn this off. You've been with me along the way. I've acknowledged that this is a challenging issue. I'm right there as your host, sitting along with you, and we're in this together. Trust me. Just hang on for a minute. Sometimes I literally say that in the episodes. I'll be like, okay, I know this is a little tricky here, but we're going to get to a place that I think is going to surprise you. So just bear with me for just a moment, you know, or a lot of people might disagree with this, but here's how this person with this humanity that you are now seeing on full display has come to see this. We focus, that's the other key thing that I learned in a lot of research and training that I've done on how to have difficult conversations. It's really the same strategy, which is sit down with someone with whom you really disagree, our inclination is to debate the issue, the topic. You stand here on it. I stand here on it. How could you stand in that place? Well, this is clearly the right place to stand. And haven't you seen this thing and this thing and this thing? Here's all my proof that I'm right and you're wrong and that you really should come over to my side. Well, that's not a productive conversation. That's why we oftentimes avoid those kinds of conversations, because we don't know how to not have that kind of conversation. But there is another way. And it's as simple as, well, it's not simple, but it's a simple concept, which is instead of talking about the issue, focus on how you and the other person have come to feel about that issue. Could you share an experience with me that has shaped something that you've experienced in your life that shapes your view on this issue? And let me share something that shapes my view on this issue. And when you're starting to have that kind of conversation, then it's not about your position on this issue is wrong. I'm starting to understand the life experience that led you to this place. And now I have a better understanding of why you would think that. And it's going to open my mind to even how to be a better advocate for my position, because I've taken the time to understand, well, here's something. Here's a person who grew up in this position. This is what, just to take the gun example again, this is what guns meant in their family life, or this is what happened because of gun violence in their life. And that has really shaped the way this person thinks about this issue. Well, I haven't had those experiences. This is what shaped my view. I'm recognizing there's a blind spot. I'm recognizing that you're a person with human experiences and not just a robot that holds a view that I think is wrong. And so we do the same thing with that can lead to a far more productive conversation about these difficult issues. I believe it's also a lot more exciting and empowering. And that's what we focus on with the podcast as well. We lean into people's human experience. So when I'm interviewing people about some of these topics, we look for people who have life experience that has shaped their view so that we can share that with our listeners so that it doesn't feel like it's just people, robots talking about the issue.
Understood.
Yeah,
it's really great, I would say. So before we wrap up, like, what advice would you offer to the individuals who want to engage more mindfully with the news and at the same time, current events in today's fast-paced world?
Yes. It's a challenge. And the fact that it's fast-paced and it's overwhelming, it comes from all different angles. And it's really hard to ignore. I mean, it's all around us.
Yeah.
I have a couple of things that have worked for me that are inspired by the mindfulness training and the work I've done with Top of Mind. The first thing I would say is, rebalance your consumption so that it's more weighted toward local news, what's happening in your community. Oftentimes, this is true in the United States. I think it's true in many other countries. Local news tends to be less polarized because filling potholes and dealing with local, you know, infrastructure issues and whether or not a store should move into the community is more complicated, less polarized, less clearly like all the Democrats over here, all the Republicans over here, than national news, which tends to focus on bigger sort of political horse race kinds of stories. So that's one thing. Think about maybe consuming a little more local news if your primary news source tends to be only the national newspaper, for example. The second thing I would suggest is to try to limit, if possible, and again, this is something that's more possible maybe in the United States than other places, but limit your consumption of news on social media as much as possible. When news is spread on social media platforms like Facebook, it is driven often by algorithms that want to get you to click, that want you to get you angry, that want to get you afraid. The sharing and sort of sharing without reading and clicking and liking, it's just a lot less thoughtful. It's a lot less mindful. I don't think that social media exists to help us be mindful in any way. It's all about knee-jerk reactions, right? But you can be mindful about your social media consumption. You just have to really work at it. You have to be intentional. I have found that I tend to try to not consume. Most of the people in the world, their primary news source is social media. They say, the majority of people say, well, where do you get your news? I get it from social media. If there are options in your community that are not social media, try to consume news directly from the source, instead of through the social media filters and the algorithms. So go to the website of the newspaper. And then I would also say, go, you know, make sure that you're varying your news sources. Don't just get your news from one source, because you're only going to be getting one worldview if your most media outlets have a worldview of some sort. So try to consume from a variety of sources. And then the final thing that I'll say is, especially when you're feeling particularly overwhelmed, like right now, I mean, you know, you could pick one of half a dozen different world conflicts. If you look at the headlines, you're going to see, you know, half a dozen stories of you know, elections in different countries. You're going to see, you know, lots of news about what's happening with crime and with corruption in your own communities. There's climate change stories. There's, you know, all of these things, right? Loneliness and depression and public health problems and disease outbreaks. If you spend all of your time reading headlines, you can open up a news website and you can read all of these headlines, and you are going to, it's like drinking from a fire hose of bad news. It's just going to wash over you. You're not getting any depth or nuanced content. You're just consuming the bad news piece of it. You're just consuming the headlines. And that makes me feel a lot worse about the world. What I have found is that I try to go deep rather than stay broad and shallow. So instead of opening up the news every day and just skimming every single headline and seeing all the terrible things that are happening in the world, I pick one topic and I read the whole article. Instead of spending 20 minutes skimming headlines, I spend 20 minutes reading one article, top to bottom. And you can even just pick a topic. So maybe right now you're focused on immigration. Okay, so every day I'm going to pick an immigration story and I'm going to read that from start to finish and see what I find interesting or surprising about that, instead of reading every headline on the news, you know, for 20 minutes on a page. And maybe after a couple of weeks, you're like, okay, maybe now I'm going to focus on, you know, the conflict in Israel and Gaza. And then maybe you're going to read those articles. You can pick one thing. And the more deep you go, the more opportunity you're going to find for things you can do that can help you feel more empowered to get involved, to start advocating for a position. But it's choosing to lean into rather than just sort of sit back and let it all wash over you. Those are some of the things that have really helped me.
Wow. That's really, really amazing. Great. So we have gained, dear listeners, like today, like invaluable insights, I would rather say, from Julie, which reminding us of the importance of navigating the current events with the mindfulness and empathy. So by embracing the mindfulness techniques and approaching the news consumptions with a sense of balance, we can stay informed without succumbing to anxiety or the burnout. So Julie's journey from radio journalism to hosting the Top of Mind podcast underscores the power of transformations and the necessity of evolving with the times. So her advocacy for bringing the divides in public discourse serves as a beacon of light or beacon of hope in an era which is marked by polarization and the news avoidance. So as we strive to build the community grounded in understanding and compassion, let's remember Julie's words. We cannot simply avoid the news and expect to shape the world we want to live in. So by engaging the current events mindfully, we can foster healthier dialogue, promote empathy, and empower ourselves to make a positive impact. So thank you so much, Julie, for sharing your wisdom and experiences with us today. It's really a great, great episode, I would say.
It has been my absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
Lovely, lovely. And dear listeners, remember to stay mindful, stay informed, and stay empowered. So until next time, take care of your mind, body, and your soul. Till then, thank you so much.